Okay, let's open our Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. This is the last message in Ephesians. Not the last message in our series, because the series is called Inspired Instructions from One Who Is Imprisoned. And so it's going to include all four of the prison epistles. But this is the last one in Ephesians. Next week we'll start in the letter to the Colossians. You know, an 11-year-old girl and her 8-year-old brother bickered and fought over the smallest things. That sound like your household if you got kids and brothers and sisters especially? Well, their father was surprised when the girl made an artistic card for her brother's birthday. And inside she wrote, "Happy birthday to my 9-year-old brother. I'm so glad to have a brother to love. So God gave me you." P.S. Don't read this out loud or I'll twist your head off. It's about the way it is. And perhaps you felt that way at times about some of your brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? But we're family, aren't we? We're family. So through all the irritations and the misunderstandings, we should care deeply for one another, and it should be evident to the watching world. A Greek writer named Lucian, who lived from about A.D. 120 to 200, he said of the early Christians, he says, "It's incredible to see the fervor with which the people of that religion help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. And their first legislator," by whom he meant Jesus, he says, "has put into their heads that they are all brethren." That's a pretty good thing to have put in our heads, isn't it? Now, in these final verses of this letter to the Ephesians, Paul's going to make much of that family relationship. He's going to make a lot of that. Although he will have something to say about all of his spiritual family in Ephesus, he's going to focus on the brother who would deliver this letter to that church in Ephesus. His name was Tychicus. Tychicus. I always think about tickling for some reason when I think of Tychicus. In doing so, he's going to emphasize both the messenger and the message. Up to this point, Ephesians has not been a very personal letter, right? Mostly doctrinal and then very practical in the last few chapters. And so hasn't been as personal as some of his letters. But it could be because Paul intended for it to be circulated among several of the churches in Asia Minor. Could be. But now this brief conclusion oozes with his evident care for these Christians and for the one by whom he's going to send the letter to them. It's all the more pronounced when we stop once again and think about Paul's circumstances. Do you remember his circumstances? He was under house arrest. He's in Rome. He's chained to a guard. He was getting up in years, and his health was probably not so great, especially his eyesight. And so from the epistle to the Philippians, written during this same imprisonment, we learn that fellow Christians in Rome were attacking Paul. Not only that, not only all the other problems, some of those Christians in Rome were attacking Paul. We could certainly understand if Paul sent out an appeal for prayer for his own needs. But instead, these verses will not contain a hint about his difficulties. Nothing at all about his difficulties. Now, as we saw last time, the apostle's only prayer request was that he would be bold in proclaiming the gospel. That was his only prayer request for himself. And when it comes to saying farewell, Paul's focus on his concern for these Christians and their needs. That's what he's focusing on. Paul knew that they were all concerned about him and his imprisonment. He knew that. Remember back in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, he said, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not," don't give up, "because you hear of my tribulations for you, which is your glory," he said. So Paul knew that they were concerned about him and his imprisonment. So he sent Tychicus to tell them about his situation and to comfort their hearts. And we'll see that as we get into verses 21 and 22 here. And then Paul concludes with a bountiful message and a benediction, which is really a prayer. And he's going to reflect again his love and his care for these brothers and sisters in Christ. So we need to understand something. We need to understand that we're not fighting our spiritual battles alone. Sometimes we feel like it. Remember, Pastor mentioned Elijah this morning and the 7,000 that were still with him. He thought he was all by himself, you know. We're not fighting our spiritual battles alone. There are other believers who stand with us in the fight, and we ought to be careful to encourage one another. Right? Okay. I just want to see if you're still awake. You know, some of you go to sleep right away, but you know, so I want to check, make sure. Paul encouraged the Ephesians here. He encouraged the Ephesians. Tychicus was among those who had been an encouragement to Paul. Way back in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, for example, it says, "And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia," he said, "Tychicus and Trophimus." Tychicus accompanied him. He'd been his encouragement a long time. And then, so we want to see these things about Tychicus. These verses should encourage us to be encouragers as well, because Paul's going to send Tychicus to the Ephesians to be an encouragement to them. So all the way through here, you've heard me mention the word encouragement, and that's because there is a lot of encouragement in these letters, and I hope that we'll take, and in these verses, I hope that we'll take that away from us with us this afternoon. Notice, first of all, the beloved messenger, if you're keeping your outline, the beloved messenger in verses 21 and 22. And we'll start out with the man himself. In the first part of verse 21, Paul says, "But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord." So here's all about the man. Notice, first of all, his tasks. Number one, his tasks. Tychicus, whose name means fortunate. Isn't that nice? Here in Singapore, he'd be called lucky. You know, there's everything. Lucky Plaza, everything's lucky here. As we saw in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, I read just a minute ago, along with some other men, he accompanied Paul on part of his third missionary journey. And he was also one of the men who helped take the collection to Jerusalem. So he was a trustworthy man. He even went to the trouble of going to Rome to be with Paul in his first imprisonment. Now Paul is sending him back to Asia with the letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians and Philemon. Three of the four prison letters are going to be carried to their destinations by Tychicus. He also escorted the runaway slave Onesimus. He escorted him back, who had now become a Christian. He escorted him back to his owner, Philemon. Philemon. So Tychicus was responsible to intervene before Philemon so that he would welcome Onesimus back as a brother rather than punishing him as the law would have dictated, because he was a runaway slave, you know. Later, Paul sent either Tychicus or Artemas to relieve Titus on the island of Crete. We noticed that in Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. "When I shall send Artemas unto thee," Paul said, "or Tychicus," had made up his mind yet, which one, Be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. He wanted Timothy to come to be with him. So he was going to send either Artemas or Tychicus there to relieve Timothy. Tychicus was again with Paul in his second imprisonment. So Tychicus is quite an important person, even though we hardly ever hear about him. Paul sent him to Ephesus, freeing Timothy so that he could try to get to the apostles' side before he was executed. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 12, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me," talking to Timothy. And then he says, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." So Tychicus is going to replace Paul, replace Timothy, so Timothy could come and be with Paul during his second imprisonment. So Tychicus was ready to serve wherever he was needed. Isn't that great? When there's a Christian ready to serve wherever he's needed. You know, some folks are ready to serve if this and if that, you know. But he was ready to serve no matter what. No matter what. So that's his task. And then we see his titles, number two. His titles. First of all, Paul calls him a beloved brother. A beloved brother. And later, when we work our way through the letter to the Colossians, we'll see he uses these same two titles for Tychicus in that epistle as well. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, for example, he says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and then a fellow servant in the Lord." So he could have called him just a brother, but he adds this word beloved, a beloved brother. It shows that Tychicus was a warmly relational man. He wasn't cold and aloof. Shows that he was a warmly relational man. He wasn't brusque. He wasn't insensitive or grumpy and difficult to be around. He was beloved. He was beloved. Some anonymous author, I think I put this in your notes, said agapethos is love called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object loved. Might have to go over that two or three times to get the real intensity of that. Agapetus is love called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object loved. Agapetus is used only as of Christians as united with God or with each other in love. And so when Paul used that word to describe Tychicus, everyone who knew him would have nodded. Agreement. And they would have thought, yes, he's a dear, loving man, and we love him dearly ourselves. That was Tychicus. He was a beloved brother. The word beloved is agapetos, and is the same word used of God the Father at least five times for his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. I'll just give one of those. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Scripture says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my agapetos. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's one of the favorite titles that the New Testament writers gave to all believers. Beloved. It was one given by Paul to Tychicus here. I wonder, would people describe you and me as the beloved brother or the beloved sister? Pastor Stephen Cole gives this example. He said, if you say, well, not very many people in the church even know me, it probably says more about you than it says about the church or about the other people. Huh? Probably says more about you. Are you outgoing and friendly? There's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Are you outgoing and friendly? Over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, especially the first part of the verse, the scripture says, the wise man said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Huh? Show himself friendly. Do you go out of your way to meet new people and make them feel welcome? There's a good way. That's a good way to be used of the Lord in a friendly way. Do you take a genuine interest in others? Tychicus was that kind of a man. He was a beloved brother. That's when Paul called him the beloved brother, everyone would have nodded in agreement. But that wasn't the only title he gave him. He also called him a faithful minister. Faithful minister. Faithful, of course, means trustworthy, it means dependable, it means reliable. All of those things. Tychicus was not only beloved, he was faithful in duty to himself and to others. He was a man of true fidelity. Don't hear that word much anymore. Fidelity. It's a word we don't hear much in our society anymore, except in its relationship to electronics, you know. Hi-fi. High fidelity, you know. Or what about Wi-Fi? Wireless fidelity. So we got all these fidelities, but not much in social work anymore, mostly in electronics. Fidelity in electronics is the degree, and I'm not an electrician, or electronics, I barely know how to turn on my hand phone. And sometimes, have you ever, when I'm SMSing, which is a laughable thing anyhow for me to SMS, you get through half of your message, and you go to hit the O or whatever that is up there, and you hit the send button, and it goes, whoo, you know. Wait, you know, and you can't say, get it back, so then you got to say, no, I did this stupid thing, and so you got to explain that SMS, and then about that time you hit the send again, and it's, to me it's a, I guess you could say it's a blessing, but most of the time it's just a plain curse, for me, I have to be honest. But fidelity is the degree to which an electric device, like a CD or a DVD or a radio or a television, accurately reproduces its effect, whatever that effect might be, as sound for CD or radio, or a picture for the DVD and television. That's fidelity. Tychicus trustworthily and accurately reproduced in his life what the Holy Spirit placed in his heart. He was a man of fidelity. Minister is the Greek word diakonos, of course, from which we get our English word deacon. It simply means a servant. A servant. And so taken together as a faithful minister, Tychicus accurately and trustworthily reproduced in his life what the Holy Spirit placed in his heart, and he did it by serving others. Did it by serving others. In this way, he was exactly like his Lord. Do you know that? He was exactly like his Lord. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man. Who's that? That's Christ, right? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Tychicus was a beautiful illustration of someone serving the Lord and others in a lowly place, doing whatever he was asked to do for the Lord. That was the man. Well, what about his mission? The mission. Last part of verse 21 and verse 22. First of all, we see his mission was to enlighten them. To enlighten them. He was being sent back to these Ephesians to enlighten them. In the first part of verse 21, first part of verse 22, he says, he shall make known to you whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs. You might know our affairs. Paul's already begun this thought about Tychicus's mission in the first part of verse 21. Remember, in the first part of verse 21, he said this, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. And part of caring, well, I kind of kind of preaching it myself here. I think I'll leave this part out. I'll just skip to the next point. No, I'll go ahead. Part of caring is keeping each other informed about how we're doing. I'm not very good at that, keeping people informed about how I'm doing. I just say, it's none of their business. No, it's not. It is their business. So twice, Paul emphasizes that Tychicus will let the Ephesians know how he and those with him are doing. That's what one of Tychicus' jobs, his mission was, to enlighten them. Of course, sending Tychicus meant that Paul would be deprived of this dear brother's presence. His words about Tychicus show how much he appreciated this dear man of God. But Paul was willing to give him up in order that he might enlighten the Ephesian church about his situation. Not only to enlighten them, we also see he was sent to encourage them. He was sent to encourage them. The last part of verse 22 is that he might comfort, and that he might comfort your hearts. Comfort your hearts. Word translated comfort is the Greek word parakaleo. I think I said that right. I said it real fast so you won't know anyhow. Parakaleo. It means to come alongside to help. The word translated comfort is that word. You'll remember that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And by the Apostle John, and he was the Parakletos. Paraclete. The paraclete. And so Paul knew that the believers were prone to lose heart over his trials, as we've already seen in the introduction there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And so if Tychicus had been a gloomy, negative sort of guy, like an Eeyore, by the way, I told you my daughter wrote a ladies lesson one time about Eeyore, and she used me for an example. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. But anyhow, Tychicus had been a gloomy, negative sort of guy. He would have told the Ephesians about how dismal Paul's circumstances were. But he wasn't that sort of a man. Paul knew that Tychicus would convey to the church Paul's spirit of trust in the Lord. Even in the midst of his difficulties, and this cheerful report would encourage them. What a ministry there is for a person who learns to be an encourager, right? Encourager. I wish I was more of an encourager than I am, which is my fault, not anybody else's. I'm married to an encourager, so that helps. That counts. I checked with the Lord, and that counts. If you're married to an encourager. Yeah. This doesn't mean that you put on rose-colored glasses and deny the reality of problems. Nor does it mean that you never acknowledge and confront wrongs. Dr. Noel Smith, one of our Bible school professors, he used to say only an idiot smiles all the time. Think about that. Only an idiot smiles all the time. You know, so you can go around being happy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's not very natural to be happy and smiley and all that all the time. Not very natural. Rather, it means that you get people to see things from God's perspective, which always brings hope and what? Starts with an E. Encouragement, huh? From God's perspective, we don't always get hope and encouragement. No doubt Tychicus would have conveyed Paul's perspective that we read about in his letter to the Philippians. Tychicus could have said, sure, Paul is in prison and his living situation isn't exactly plush, but you wouldn't believe the ministry that God has given Paul with the soldiers. And he had, you remember. Every time they change the guard, Paul gets a new opportunity to tell about Christ. Now, these are believers all through the Praetorian Guard. There are believers there, and even in Caesar's household, he would have told them that, because that's exactly what had happened. That was God's perspective, and it would have brought encouragement and hope. So let's learn from this beloved, faithful, serving and encouraging brother named Tychicus how to be caring, godly brothers and sisters in Christ. It'd be a good lesson to learn, wouldn't it? Well, not only that, but we also see about the bountiful message, Roman numeral 2. Bountiful message, and he starts out with A, the subjects of the message. The subjects of the message. In verse 23, the first part of the verse, Paul says, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. Wow, three very important words in that expression. Paul refers to three wonderful subjects in his message which Tychicus was to carry to the church. Do you notice them? Peace, love, and what? Faith. The Greek word translated peace means to join or bind together that which has been separated. And we have received a sin nature by being descended from Adam, and that sin nature separates us from a holy God. And when we are born again, for the first time in our lives, we enjoy peace with God. Peace with God. Because we've been unchangingly and eternally joined together with God our Father. If you don't believe it, look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5, 1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I never would, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is based upon our faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross, this peace. Now, day by day, moment by moment, the charge and the challenge for every believer is to enjoy the experiential, the day-to-day blessing of the peace of God. Have that peace with God. Now we can enjoy the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. The great verse on the peace of God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We enjoy this peace of God by keeping short accounts, so to speak. Short accounts. Because we still have the sin nature, we're still prone to commit sins. I didn't know if you knew that or not. We still have the sin nature. Some folks teach this has been eradicated when you get saved, but that ain't so. It's not biblical. Look at 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, and you know 1 John was written to beloved Christians too. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So that makes it a what? A lie. Huh? A lie. However, in the very next verse, John tells us how to keep those short accounts with God. In the 9th verse, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we keep short accounts with God. Sin erects a barrier which impedes our experiencing the peace of God. But confession and repentance, in effect, removes that barrier so that we might walk worthy of the Lord. Next week, we're going to start in Colossians. When we get to Colossians 1:10, we'll read this. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, Paul's going to say, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul prays for love with faith, as the two qualities are closely connected. For example, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, he says this, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, now being a Jew, that doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision, being a Gentile, that doesn't avail anything, but what does? Faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. In other words, Paul was saying to the Galatians, the outward keeping of religious rituals is not the main thing, but rather the faith that works itself out in deeds of love, that's the main thing. And since Paul is praying this for the brethren, He's concerned here with the increase of faith and love among those who have already believed in Christ for eternal life. In other words, we can apply it to ourselves. So as Christians, we need greater faith in Jesus Christ that will move us toward self-sacrificing love for one another. One another. And then he's going to tell us about the source of the message. The source of the message, and that's with a capital S. Because in the last part of the verse, verse 23, he says, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the source. Source of this peace, love, and faith is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul easily connects the Lord Jesus Christ with God the Father, thus demonstrating Christ's deity and his equality with the Father. No doubt about it. We should ask for one another and for ourselves that God would increase our peace, love, and faith. And then finally, in verse 24, we come to the benediction. The benediction. In verse 24, he says this, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. In other New Testament verses, the word translated sincerity has been translated incorruption. Sincerity. Incorruption. In other words, Paul expresses the blessing of grace upon all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ incorruptibly. That is, with a love that is genuine and unending, not a hypocritical type love, you know. Oh, how I love Jesus, and then go out and sin, you know. Great picture of this sincere, incorruptible love is the one Paul gives in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And this is the kind of love God has for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, he says, for I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. And then Paul says, well, I can't think of anything else, so I'm just going to throw it all together here. And nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And where is that love of God? In Christ Jesus. Inseparable from him. We are genuine Christians if we know that God has given us eternal life in his Son, and as a result, we love Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Experiencing his grace that saved us, even though we should have been condemned, that's going to increase our love for Jesus Christ, don't you think? And it should. It should. We realize that we should be condemned, but we've been saved because of his grace and his love and his mercy. That should make us fall even more in love with him. Tychicus was quite a man. He was given quite a message. But both the man and the message fade into background when we see not only their focus, but the focus of the great apostle himself. You know what that focus was? It wasn't Tychicus. It wasn't himself. It wasn't even his message, although his message included this. The focus was the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his focus was. His desire was to encourage these Ephesians and us to make much of our love for our Savior. He also wanted to emphasize to those Ephesians and to us the wonderful privilege we have of being a part of the family of God. What's that song? It was a popular song many years ago. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Pretty good song. Nowhere in the New Testament do we find an isolated believer. Nowhere do we find an isolated believer. Christians are like sheep. They're supposed to flock together. Even when one of those sheep, remember in his parable, even when one of those sheep went astray, the shepherd went out and fetched them back, you know. Supposed to be part of the flock. Church is like an army, and the soldiers need to stand together and fight together. Did you notice the four beautiful words Paul used as he closed his letter? Four beautiful words. We've given three of them, all four of them, really. Peace, love, faith. What's the last one? Grace. Peace, love, faith, and grace. He was a prisoner of Rome. He didn't consider himself a prisoner of Rome. You know who he considered himself a prisoner of? He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner of Rome, yet he was richer than the emperor, for he was also the prisoner of Jesus Christ. No matter what our circumstances may be, in Christ Jesus, over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, when we first started, we said we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Been a great letter, and it will be a great letter for all eternity. And it's not a great letter just because we've been studying it. It's just a great letter because God wrote it, you know. The Holy Spirit wrote it and sent it to these Ephesians, and then he preserved it for us. So I trust that you've gotten some lessons that you can put into your life, into your Christian life, as we've gone through this wonderful letter to the Ephesians. We'll have some more on Colossians, another great letter. Next week we'll begin that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you.